Type. This is fine. And so it's really, really short introduction. And then I'm actually going to get you into groups, just really informally, just where you're sitting, where you're going to talk through and discuss some statements and see if you agree or disagree with them and why. So anyway, that's tonight. So that those who aren't able to make it tonight won't feel like they've missed out on any of the really heavy stuff, which we'll get into tomorrow morning. So let me begin by introducing you to Secular Sam. Secular Sam is very successful. He has a good job. He has a nice girlfriend. He has a beautiful apartment. He has a new car, probably a Tesla, and excellent health. He's humorous, intelligent, and personable. Secular Sam is also a Christian. And actually, he's quite an active Christian. He is an evangelical, is theologically conservative, and believes in the authority of Scripture. Indeed, he's even come to see Scripture as the most satisfying explanation for all kinds of phenomena, from the origin of the world to the meaning of life. Sam, being a student of Scripture, can realistically examine humanity's sinfulness. He can even refute his atheistic friends with historical evidence for the resurrection. He knows that all of life is under the scrutiny of God's word, not just his religion, but also business, philosophy, ethics, economics, and law. So what is it then that makes Secular Sam so secular? Sam is secular because he expects to wake up in his bed tomorrow morning. He's never even heard of what his grandparents called the blessed hope. See, Sam's hopes and concerns, even about his own spiritual life, are all contained in this seculum. That's the Latin word from which we get secular. That is, this age and this life. See, Sam assumes that tomorrow will be just like today, and that has serious implications for the way he thinks about today. Now that, I didn't come up with that. That came from a pastor from the US called Mark Dever. And he writes about Secular Sam. And I wonder if it sounds a little bit like a lot of us. But I want you to compare that with another person. His name is C.T. Studd. With a name like Studd, huh? What a great name. Anyway, he was famous for being actually one of the cricketers to play in the very first Ashes test in Australia. He's in English, and he came to Australia in 1882 to play in the first Ashes. He was an outstanding sportsman. But even more famous, you might know him as a pioneer missionary. He's founder of a mission organization called WEC, W-E-C. He was a missionary in China and India and Africa, where he eventually died. And I just want to end tonight just by showing you a few quotes from C.T. Studd. Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. The romance of a missionary is often made up of monotony and drudgery. There's often no glamour in it. It doesn't stir a man's spirit or blood. So don't come out to be a missionary as an experiment. It's useless and dangerous. Only come if you feel you would rather die than not come. Don't come if you want to make a great name or want to live long. Come if you feel there is no greater honor after living for Christ than to die for him. And probably most famously, his lines, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, I've introduced you to two people, Secular Sam and C.T. Studd. Let's admit it, most Christians in Australia are far more like Secular Sam than C.T. Studd, me included. Why? Because we've lost sight of eternal realities. See, we've been sold a story, friends, and that story is a lie. The story where we're at the center and that the best life has to be lived now. And like Secular Sam, we hold to that story while trying to be followers of Jesus. And then we wonder why our Christian lives are directionless and passionless and powerless. And nothing like the lives of Christians that you read about, say, in the book of Acts, or in the early church, or in places right now, like Africa and India and China and Iran, and nothing like CT Studd. Well, this weekend, the Bible is going to give us a bigger and far better story to be a part of, right? Beyond the here and now. It's a true story. The true story that we might have lost sight of. Heaven, hell, and life eternal. So that's what we're looking forward to. And I hope I've whetted your appetites, but it really begins officially tomorrow morning. So make sure you get a good night's sleep. But what I want you to do now is have a chat with the people around you. The easiest way of doing this is maybe, you know, every second row can just flip your chairs around and talk to the person, the people behind you. So you should get no more than about, you know, five. If your group's too big, just split it in half. We're not going to organize it. Just turn around, chat to each other. And you don't have to do all five, all right? In your group, just pick a number, go for the one you want to have a chat about. And each one is a statement, not a question. Talk about whether you agree or disagree with a statement. Why not? Or to what extent? Okay? It's meant to be controversial. There's probably no one right answer for any of them. So why don't you have a go at that, and that'll hopefully get your appetites wet. We'll keep that slide up so you can have a look. Why don't we do that now? Just get into groups around where you are, and we'll maybe spend the next 10 minutes talking through the statements. Go for it. It's okay, you don't have to finish all of them. You don't have to be high-achieving Chinese people. This is not at mark, this is not an exam. Okay, I'm just interested in maybe just a show of hands, okay? So, how we're gonna do this is, if you agree with the statements, raise your hands. If you disagree, keep your hands down. If you're not sure, put your hand on your head, okay? All right, don't worry. I'm not even going to tell you the right answers or wrong answers. They'll hopefully all come out during the talks over the next 2 days. And if not, you can ask me during question time, which we'll have on Sunday. But just as a show of hands, interest sort of thing. So agree is hands up. Disagree is don't do anything. Hands on heads if you're not sure. Okay, so first statement. It is possible for a person to be so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly good. Agree, disagree, or hands on heads. So we have a few definite agrees. A lot of disagrees. Okay, a lot of disagrees and some heads. Great, nice. Okay, number two. Since everything is going to be destroyed when Jesus returns, nothing is as important as the work of evangelism. Agree, disagree, or hands on heads for unsure or maybe only partially agree, you know? Okay, we got a few agrees, quite a lot of disagrees, not many hands on heads, all right? Not as many. Next one is hell will be awful primarily because it is a place where God is absent. Agree, disagree, hands on heads. Oh, lots of agrees. Interesting. Okay, number four, a Christian who has died is asleep until the second coming of Christ. Agree, disagree, hands on heads. Ooh, okay, interesting. So quite a lot of agrees. Yeah, okay. And then finally, the final judgment will be fair because it'll be different for different people depending on the lives they have lived, i.e. based on works. Agree, disagree, hands on heads. Ooh, a couple of agrees, a lot of disagrees, and a couple of hands on heads. Okay, just for you to have a think about, and we'll look at the Bible over the next 2 days. But yeah, thank you. I'm really looking forward to opening the Word with you. Hopefully you're looking forward to it now as well. Cool, I'll pass it over back to Chris or the musos.